The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the show. It's episode 480 of the show. I'm your host, Andrew. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. This is 480. Going to tackle a couple of things as it relates to some of the things I did see the last week and a half. I know we haven't recorded in a bit, but I definitely wanted to leave an episode right here fresh from my thoughts and some of the things that I've experienced the last couple of days, 7 to 8 days out since our last recording, give or take. But didn't want to pass this whole week without saying something on a microphone, because as podcasters, we can't get away from the microphone. That's just one of the things that we love to do. We love talking. It's definitely a ego, maniacal, prideful, central thing as it relates to us creating content. And if we're honest, we just love people listening to us. If I'm honest, I love listening to the show as if I'm a listener, which I've done, to figure out exactly what I need to improve, or what I need to change, what I need to remove, whatever the case might be. So podcasting in and of itself has allowed us, individuals who create content, as well as you listening, which I do appreciate, to hear some things that we have to say about the topics that are out there in the world. So episode 480, we are here with another episode of The Show Radio, theshowradio.info. You can find me there, as well as Daniela. And as far as when we're not here, you can definitely check us out on Discord. Discord is theshowradio.info / Discord, as well as when we're not here, we're on Twitch. So my Twitch is at Uriah, if you want to say at Uriah, /Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. Or at Miss DJM, if you want to check her out when she's streaming, you can check her out at, /, Miss DJM on Twitch, and you'll find her and that kind of a thing. So, so this last couple of days have been interesting. Some interesting emails flying, some interesting conversations in the background, some interesting things. And one of the things that's really interesting about the show, and having done it for the last 9 years now, is we're constantly filtering ourselves and the conversations that we have, because we know that there's different individuals who listen to the show, and we have to make sure that we're very, very careful in what we say on a microphone and what we can't say. But at the same time, we want to provide lessons along the way, since some of us are privileged to interact with certain companies and that kind of a thing, right? So I don't know exactly where I want to go with that, but let's just go with it. So ever since of December of last year, December, I vowed that I was going to be very intentional about some of the things I said and some of the things I did on social media, especially Twitter. Not so much Instagram, because Instagram is cool. I'm still learning the platform, how it works and stuff like that. But I have pretty much decided that I was going to make sure that as I create content, whether it's through the podcast or even Twitch, which is fairly new to me as I'm learning that platform, is that I was going to be very intentional about interactions on social media. So being very PR here. And I think that has served me really well. It has served me really well, because it allowed me to connect with individuals on a deeper level that I haven't in the last year or so, right? And I think that social media is great. You get to promote your stuff. You get to promote all the things that you're doing, which is fantastic. And those things are great. But at the same time, there is a time that I felt that I needed to just back away from it a little bit and be very intentional about how I engage conversations with people on the platform. And that's pretty much it. Maybe one day I'll get to delve into that a little bit more. But it's been a very interesting time. So next thing I definitely want to share as I'm thinking about it is content creation is fun. Content creation is fun for me right now. I think it's fun for me more than ever because of the... I don't have a lot of noise coming in like I used to, because if I spent a lot of time on social media, there would be a lot of noise coming in, and I would try to filter that noise versus some of the things that I'm doing and try to compare with some of my colleagues that I respect as far as their work is concerned. So that's been very interesting to, you know, move away from that and speak with individuals offline and just re-engage and remap the things that we love and the things that we enjoy as far as the industry is concerned. So just some airing out there at the top of the show. But I definitely wanted to tackle a couple of things, as I did take some notes for the last since we last recorded the show. I think we're at 480. I keep saying 480, and I hope that's right. So I may want to check that if it is 480 that we're at. And I'm actually going to do that while I am recording this offline recording. So theshowradio.info is the website, and this is episode 480. Okay, so a couple of things. Definitely check us out. If you want to touch base with us, especially on social media, definitely use the hashtag TSRPod, TSRPOD, and you can definitely check us out there. That's where I really look at engagement, and we usually use that tag when we post stuff on The Show Radio Twitter, which is at The Show Radio, so definitely check us out there. A couple of things I did see this week, a couple of things, especially I would say maybe 6 to 8 days ago, the Kareem Hunt situation with the lady and kicking her while she was down, and even just that whole situation. It's just I don't know why we keep seeing things like that. It's very disturbing, I really don't know what to do with that. It's just I don't know why we keep seeing things like that, and whether the NFL is addressing it the way they're supposed to or not, that's the question that's surrounding that. So, but I've been trying to figure out exactly how I want to, I guess, resolve that in my mind, because, you know, at the end of the day, you shouldn't, you know, put your hands on anybody, period. I don't care who it is, right? It's just something that we shouldn't do, we shouldn't see. It's just been crazy like that. So if you haven't really been checking anything as it relates to the news, Kareem Hunt was removed from Madden NFL 19. So I'm trying to figure out how much I want to deep dive into this. This was sports. I guess I feel like really diving into this. So let me. Okay. So days after Kareem Hunt was cut by the Kansas City Chiefs, and I have audio playing in the background. I don't know why. Following a scandal that shocked the NFL, the running back has been kicked off the virtual Chiefs as well. So you have that whole situation there as it relates to this guy just hitting a woman, and while she was down, kicking her was just really, really ridiculous. I guess that's really as far as I want to go with that one. This is group. Next thing I definitely want to talk about, this is group called the Cookout Group. Cookout Group, you can find them at thecookout.org. I've been hearing a lot about this particular group for a while now, and they have their own Discord and stuff like that. This particular Cookout Group is focused on building a safe space for content creators of color, to share their content and their stories in new and innovative ways. So the cookout.org, I applied for that a couple of days later. You know, they said, yeah, you can be down with us. So I'm going through the process of seeing some of the things that they have as far as like events and different charity stuff, or even the conversations that happen in their Discord is pretty neat as well. So if you are a content creator of color, I would definitely say consider signing up for that group and seeing the things that they have going on, and go from there. I'll definitely check that out. So I'm happy to see what they have and the things that they get involved in. And there's some dope things that I'm looking forward to seeing in there as well. So that is what's happening with the Cookout. So definitely check that out. and see if that's something that you want to be a part of or appreciate or enjoy. So next thing I have, I may need to get some water, maybe, but let's see how far we can go. So I had a situation with a particular company, and this is a learning lesson for me as well as I wanted to share with you. So a while ago, I'll say that, there was a company that sent me a particular product, and the product, they believe, included something that it did not, right? So I'm going through the process of sharing with this company that the product that you did send it. I appreciated that the fact that you did send it, but what you thought it included, it did not include, because at the time of release, it wasn't even available or even a concept. Maybe it was a concept in your studio behind the scenes, but to the public eye, it wasn't even a thing. What you thought you sent wasn't even what you sent, right? So I'm going back and forth with this company. So I went through the process of just, you know, going through emails and saying, hey, this email, you said that. This is your quote from the email. That email, you said this. And it was very professional. It wasn't something that was disrespectful from both parties. The company was great at taking care of the situation. But I was very encouraged because I was in a position because I was asking for their content, right? Because I'm like, okay, you sent this. Thank you. I'm requesting this. But you said you sent this already. So now I have to show you that you did not send it via emails and screen caps and different things like that. And at the end of all of that, you know, they were kind enough to let me check out the next thing for them, right? And it was a series of emails, a series of screenshots, series of video clips. So OBS, if you haven't taken the time to use OBS in any way, shape, or form, and you're finding a reason not to use OBS because you don't think it's important, or you don't have any screenshot tools on your system for whatever reason that you don't want to use or whatever, whatever the reason is, those tools are great and free at your disposal, and Google is definitely there. So it would be a great benefit to you if you decide to use those tools, especially if they're available, right? So I did take the time to use those tools, and it was a win for both parties. It was a win for me because I still got a chance to check out whatever the company had coming up. But at the same time, it was a win for them, maybe, I'd say, you know, because they got to see a discourse that was very civil. It didn't have to end in a particular argument of ruining a relationship with a company that you enjoy the stuff that they put out, right? So that kind of a thing. So definitely the point is, as I'm thinking about it some more, is keep your emails, right? Keep your emails. If you're quick to delete your emails, definitely take the time to just save those things and archive and favorite certain conversations, because you never know. You may need those conversations later, right, to present your case and with respect to whatever company says that, hey, we did send you this already, but then you go through all your accounts and your DLC packs and subscription listings and to find that they did not, right? So companies make mistakes, and we make mistakes, and sometimes it just works out to our benefit when we just present things with dignity and respect. We're still talking to human beings on the other side, and they don't have to offer the things that they offer to us, especially if they're the ones giving the stuff out and they have the keys for those things as well, right? So definitely consider keeping your emails and always present your case with respect, right? So that's what's going on there. Next thing I have is I did see something that allows you to connect your PlayStation 2 to HDMI. I'm going to have a link for that in the show notes. Steam Link. Steam Link is here for me. Steam Link is here for me, meaning there was a sale going on during the Thanksgiving time where it was $2.50. And it was such a great deal. And then it sold out. And Daniela said, hey, you know, she sent me the link again when it went back up on their website for Steam. And I picked it up. I was like, yeah, you know, finally get a chance to get that. I did end up receiving it. I did end up setting it up. And Steam Link is probably one of the dopest things that I've received this year. I mean, there's been plenty of dope things that I received this year, but that's definitely one of them, as well as, you know, headsets and different things like that from companies and stuff. So, but yeah, so this right here, you know, I connected and I'm able to play River City Ransom Underground on my TV and not necessarily on the PC. I'm able to connect my PlayStation controller to that unit and just have a good time. And Steam is dope. I don't know why it took me so long to get to even to this point, where, you know, it took me at the very end of, hey, you know, once we sell out, that's it. We're not getting any more. And I'm like, dude, I need to figure that out. So I was a little sad at first, like, man, I could probably miss out on this particular opportunity to get this thing for $2.50, where it's worth so much more. And maybe, what was it, a week prior to that, a buddy of mine, he sent a, he let me have this 24-port gigabit switch. So I have, you know, all this extra room now for, you know, different PCs and different tech components that I can plug in RJ45s to that particular box or whatever. And so connecting the Steam Link through that, you know, I was under the impression that when you connect the Steam Link, you have to connect stuff from the Steam Link to the PC, but it's actually done through the network. Like, you connect the Steam Link to the Ethernet, right? And then you connect the HDMI cable to the back of the TV, right? And then from there, you just set up the codes that needs to acknowledge that you have a Steam Link on the system. So you go through the Steam app on the PC, and then you have to probably enter like a verification code that, you know, blah, 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 that kind of a thing. But in terms of setting it up, I thought it was all connected to, like, the Steam Link was physically connected to the laptop or the desktop or whatever, but it's not. You know, looking at it now, even seeing it sitting on a speaker by the TV, like, everything is just, it's a small little box, and as soon as you plug in a controller, it comes on the screen, and you just have to make sure the software is running on your particular, you know, laptop or desktop or whatever. But overall, I mean, it's a great experience in terms of syncing, in terms of response time from the controller to the screen. That is great. And I think you could do up to two players, because I think it has two or three USB ports attached to the Steam Link. Great. Absolutely fantastic. I'm really enjoying that particular product. So if you're right now, so since that whole sale is done, and according to the website, they're not necessarily going to do that sale again because they've sold out, and you can still get the Steam Link at other places. And according to the website, they're going to support it. You know, they're still going to support the Steam Link, but now it's a rare item. I'm trying to see if I can go to the website and see exactly what they said about it. Steam Link, let me see if I can actually go to, let's do explore, see if I could pull up the link for that and see exactly what they said on the particular thing. Because I know on the store, Android beta available now. Let me go to the store. Let's see if we can do, I don't even see, okay, hardware section, Steam Link. I think that's where I'm trying to go. Okay, so now this page is different. This page is different from last time I recall, because this page had a little kind of like an announcement saying that, yeah, we're going to support it. But the Steam Link, the store.steampower.com/Steam Link/about, that page looks like it's changed since last time. So essentially what it was saying, we're going to continue supporting the product, but as far as like getting it through us, it's done. So now that it's a rare item, you're looking at anywhere from $75 and up, right? Versus the original retail price was $49.99, right? So now, if you really want to get it, dude, you got to pay an arm and a leg to get it, unless you can find it somewhere for either $5, which is what maybe two previous sales that I remember. Maybe, I guess, let me know if that's completely off. But I think prior to the $2.50 sale, you know, while it's hot, while it lasts, that they did in November, I think there were two times prior to that that they offered it for like $5. And I was like, yeah, that's cool, I'll pass. Yeah, that's cool, I'll pass. And I was like, you know, yeah, you know, so $2.50 came. Yeah, you know, I'll pass. And then they were like, well, dude, you'd be really, really crazy if you passed on this one because it's $2.50. And we know, Uriah, you barely buy anything anyway throughout the year, which is true. Thanks to all the companies that support me and the show radio and all the stuff that we do. This was like a no-brainer, right? So I'm glad I was able to jump on that. And it's fun. It's really, really dope. So let me close this window here. And how to speed up Windows machine using only free tools. I thought I had a link for that. I'm going to post a link for that in the show notes. Maybe I'm doing a lot of stuff real time right now. So let me see if I could pull that up as I'm talking about it. Okay, so some of the free items. Let me see what we got. Too much junk. Let's see if we can look at this real time. Malware Bytes is one of the apps that's referring in this article. Let's see, Spybot, Search and Destroy, Geek Uninstaller, which I installed, which is dope. Definitely check that out. They're talking about Startup Gridlock, a free tool called Auto Runs, or Startup Delayer. Some of the things that you can definitely check out. Programs like Lolo Systems Mechanic, locate and delete those files that may be bogging down your system. So for the last, I would say, couple of weeks, maybe a month or two now, it seems that time is really flying by, I've been using Windows 10, right? In the beginning, okay, so let's go back to a conversation that we're having in the beginning. In the beginning, I was like, hey, Windows 7 is dope. I'm going to continue using Windows 7. And then a buddy of mine was like, yo, why are you going to use end of life thing? Why don't you just jump to Windows 10? And I was really skeptical on jumping to Windows 10 because it was like, okay, now I'm going to have to relearn how to optimize the system, the Windows 10 system, versus what I've learned from the Windows 7 setup, right? So it was like, what? I don't feel like doing that right now. And I think that Google makes it easy, YouTube makes it easy. And I think that we're at an age where we have so much information that people are willing to package and pay and sell it, I'll say that, at $397, where most of the information that they're packaging is stuff that you can find online for free, whether you're on YouTube and you have to watch spend half an hour to watch a video that shows you how to optimize Windows 10 or something like that, or even how to get free tools to work on your system to make the system run smoother so you have less blue screen of death or green screen or whatever, the black screen, whatever the screen is these days, that kind of a thing. So those tools are available. So one of the things that I've enjoyed doing with the show in particular is always try to find a link or a site that offers tools that benefit not only us as we're creating content, but definitely you checking out the show and saying, hey, you know, this Geek Install Uninstall could really help me because I have a whole bunch of stuff on my PC that I don't even remember how I got it on there. And while it's uninstalling the stuff, it takes the traces of the apps off of your system, you know, automatically as well. So stuff like that, I really enjoy. So I'm going to have a link in the show notes for that, for this particular thing, for tools. So Windows 10, getting back to that a little bit. I've been using Windows 10. It's been pretty, pretty flawless, I must say. I'm impressed to where we are now. In terms of using this particular machine with Windows 10. I've had a lot of challenges in the past. The current setup is one hard drive is running Ubuntu, and then the other hard drive is running Windows 10. Now, I would prefer to get a docking station to clone the Windows 10 to a SSD drive, right? The Ubuntu is running the SSD drive. I would have it either flipped or have both of them running SSDs. So one of the things that took place in a process of installing Windows 10 on the separate drive that's connected to this PC was the fact that I lost my booting screen. selection menu, right, where you pick either Windows 10 or Windows 7 or Ubuntu, whatever systems that you're running on your thing. So I was like, okay, so now I lost the menu. So now I had to find a software that allows me to get that menu system back, right, which was a free software. It's just, you know, Googling a couple of things, and then you'll run into somebody who created a particular piece of software that could benefit you, that's not tied to a particular software package, that is not tied to a particular paywall. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's really good out there that you can use on your system. So I definitely wanted to share that with you. Windows 10 is running really well. I run OBS on this particular system. I have the external capture card plugged into the system as well as PlayStation 4, using that through OBS and stuff like that. That's been fun. The late setup, if you ever join me on Twitch, which is /Uriah, you'll see that I have two camera systems set up. I don't know why I'm calling it camera systems, but I have two cameras set up, so two scenes for that. So one is like a talk screen, which is a standard thing now. I'm noticing where if you're going to talk or eat or do anything, you know, chill, you can just switch to the talk screen real quick and then just jump back into the actual in-game camera that you have set up and stuff like that. So I have a similar setup like that, a very clean, very non, I don't think non-intrusive is the right word I want to use. It's not bogged down with a whole bunch of stuff on the screen. How about that? I'll say that. So the system is very neat, clean. And you know, I like the simple setup now, which allows me to do a little bit more and focus more on the gaming and the community aspect of it as far as that's concerned and stuff. So that's been fun. So I'm going to close that. Next thing we have, is, Meek Mill's, championship album, right? Championships, album. So that's been fun to listen to, because, I started really digging into Meek Mill stuff when there was the whole Drake Meek Mill beef era, right? Around that time, however many years ago that was. And it's very interesting because whenever it depends on what the situation is. Whenever somebody says, "Hey, this is crap," or "This rapper lost the fight," or I always tend to lean on the person that didn't do well in that current battle scene or whatever, which is how I was introduced to Meek Mill. I was like, if everyone's saying that, you know, he's not that great of a rapper, or he started off as a battle rapper and he fell off and he went against Drake, that's a big mistake to make and all that stuff. I was like, you know what? I need to go listen to some of the things that he's already put out and then go from there. So that's what led me to really start listening to Meek Mill. Which, you know, you're probably like, well, yeah, you know, you've been on Meek Mill for a long time. You've listened to him since day one. I'm a bandwagon jumper. It's interesting because I really started listening to him when people were saying that he lost all that stuff with Drake, right? So instead of being someone who would jump on whatever Drake was doing because Drake won through the back-to-back and all that stuff that was happening at the time, I was like really intrigued on, why don't I check out some of the things that Meek Mill has already produced and put out to the world? And that's how I started listening to him, right? So from that era on, I was like, you know what? I really love the fact that most of his lyrics and stuff are motivational things from his background and stuff like that. And then we had the whole thing where he went to jail for the popping the wheelie thing and all that. And then 5 months there, I think he is what he spent as far as time. And he's back out. He's been on probation since he was 16. So just really started following that narrative ever since to where we are now, right? To he's being an advocate for the things that are happening in his world, right? As it relates to wrongly incarcerated individuals serving time that they shouldn't have to be serving and all that stuff, and putting money aside for that to make sure people have the proper representation and all that stuff. So, yeah. So having said all that, so I've been checking out the Championships album. I always love his intros. Definitely the track with Jay-Z and I believe Rick Ross is really, really dope. So I'm a fan. I'm really a fan. As I said, I've been listening since he quote unquote lost the battle with Drake. And now most of his album conversation surrounds, you know, the things that has happened to him in his life, motivational stuff, as well as, you know, just squashing beefs with other individuals that he had beefs with, because it's better for, you know, content is better for the industry, is better for the culture and stuff like that. So been checking that out. Great album. Really enjoying it. It's really doing well. And that's what's up with that. Next thing, Tom Cruise takes a break from filming to talk about motion smoothing. Like, I still don't know what that is. Okay, so I'll say that, but I'm going to have a link in the show notes. And apparently it's a big deal where some individuals have probably talked about this in the past, where because Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise, and he is a great figure as far as making movies and stuff like that, people will listen to him more than they will listen to the individuals probably who attempted to talk about this in the past. So let me mute this thing. I'm trying to see if there's a definition. Motion smoothing can also result in digital artifacts and a degraded image as your TV is trying to add artificial information to the content. Motion smoothing off. Okay, I can see. Okay, that looks okay. And motion smoothing on. Okay, so this article I'm looking at right now, which is the first time I'm looking at it and reading it, I'm going to tie that. I'm going to remove this link here as I'm doing this real time, and put this in the show notes for what I just saw. So this is a big deal, apparently. I haven't really paid attention to it like that in that particular world, but this is something that people are really concerned about, looking forward to seeing happen for most movies as they're watching them. Motion smoothing is a thing, so I'll have a link in the show notes for that. Next thing I have is Marvel fast-tracking its first Asian superhero film, Shang-Chi. I'm going to have a link in the show notes for that. Looking forward to more Marvel stuff. A little upset that we don't have Daredevil anymore. I recently saw that Netflix retweeted Punisher season 2 is coming. I don't know when that is. Maybe first quarter of 2019. That would be dope. I don't know, but looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing Daredevil make an appearance in Punisher season 2. That would be cool, since we're still a little salty about the fact that we don't have season 4 of Daredevil, which we talked about this on the show before, where I was so hype about season 3 of Daredevil, and not many days hence they canceled the thing because that was it. Even though season 4 was presented, they decided not to go with a season 4. So we still have Jessica Jones, we still have Punisher, and apparently they're fast tracking the film Shang-Chi, which should be dope as well. So that's what's going on with that. A couple of things. The Toe-Jam and Earl trailer, going to have a link in the show notes for that. The Federal Trade Commission says it is investigating loot boxes, a controversial video game mechanic that can allow players to spend real money on randomized goods. If individuals are still concerned about that, there are games that are doing it right. There are games that are not doing it at all. There are games that are doing it completely wrong according to our taste. According to our taste, right? So there's that conversation surrounding that. Did see, this is quick as I'm thinking about it, it's not even in the show notes, but I'll mention it. The Google CEO was recently in front of a group. Let me see. Google CEO testifies, right? Congress, testify Congress. I did see a little bit of that. I watched most of it. I think it was about 3 hours. It was interesting to see in terms of watching that take place. I love listening to those kind of conversations because it gives me context on not completely what Google is up to, but it gives you context of how the company approaches certain things as they're creating them. And if you have not checked that out, definitely consider checking that out. So maybe I should put that there. Hold on a second. Google CEO testifies. Where's that at? Go back to the notes here. I'm going to put that right here, Google CEO testifies, right? So I'll put a link in the show notes for that so you can check that out. A couple of things I did see. Bethesda leaked Fallout 76 customer names, addresses, and contact details That's a thing. Bethesda still going through it with Fallout 76. They knew it wasn't ready, but they wanted to put out anyway. They announced that it had issues. They did mention that. So we did know going in that it had issues, but we didn't realize how many issues that it did have. It's been a little crazy for them. So there's that. A couple of more things. A Super Nintendo console made with a record label. We're going to have a link in the show notes for that. Fortnite getting a creative mode. That's a thing. Epic launches a digital game store, which is dope. They have so much great things going on for them right now. I'm going to do a segment for the Game Awards on this particular podcast, episode 480. So I'm going to think that through and do a particular segment for that. Some of the things that moved me, moments that really caught my attention during that particular thing. So I'll add that to the conversation later. But yeah, so the Game Awards is really, really dope. Next thing, PlayStation Classic data mine reveals 36 rejected games. 36 rejected games. So let's go into that a little bit. Let's see what's up with that. It's opening a window here. Okay, let's see. Crash 2, Toy Story 2, Driver, Parasite Eve, Raystorm, Ridge Racer, Silent Hill, Tomb Raider 2, Tomb Raider, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, Vagrant Story, Wild Arms 2. And according to this list, if legitimate, those differences include a list of 36 games not included on the release version of the PlayStation Classic, which appear to have been tested for a micro console but not included. Here's that full list, and I just read a couple of those things. Gran Turismo's in there, GTA 2's in there. What else I didn't mention here? Legacy of Kain is in there. Medieval is in there. Medal of Honor is in there. Did already mention Street Fighter, Street Fighter Alpha 3, Street Fighter EX plus Alpha. I mentioned Tomb Raider already. Wild Arms 2 is in there, and so on and so forth. So definitely check that out if that's your thing. If you're concerned about that and want to have a conversation surrounding that, that link is going to be in the show notes. So this thing caught my attention as well. Football player Neymar skipped soccer's most prestigious awards to play Call of Duty. So here's a question I had, right? So knowing that you're not getting an award, right, and the event is a few miles away from your house, would you skip that award show to do your leisure activities? That's the question I'm wondering. Like, if you know you're not getting an award and you just want to chill at the house and do whatever you do, would you skip the award ceremony because you just want to chill and do what you do, whatever that is? And that's pretty much what happened here. Neymar skipped a great award ceremony because it was like, hey, I'm not winning anyway, so might as well just do what I love to do at home. And it was in the same town, maybe a few miles away from his house, this particular event was taking place. So yeah, that's an interesting conversation. Would you, knowing that you're not getting an award and the event is a few miles away from your house, would you skip that award show to do your leisure activities? I definitely want to hear your thoughts on that. Definitely hashtag TSRpod. We'd love to hear your answers on that. At theshowradio.info. So that's what's going on there. A couple of things. Black Armory update. So Black Armory was introduced in the season pass that's going to last from, I guess, now, depending on when you listen to this, hopefully around December. If you listen to it later, that's fine. So around now to August of next year, 2019. I'm thinking about this in real time. So this particular pass is a new way of releasing content that's being introduced to the Destiny community, and I love Destiny, so I find a reason to complain about it, and I find a reason to praise it, right? So in the beginning of this Black Armory stuff, one of the things that was a concern for a lot of individuals who left the game for a while is that your light level was really low going into some of the activities like the Forge and different things like that, right? So in the beginning, I was a little irritated by it because I was not where I needed to be as far as light level is concerned to play those activities. Now, there's many ways that you can get your prime engrams and your engrams to drop for those activities to be available to you and you're not being damaged tremendously by the bosses because your light level is not up there. But I can't be mad or irritated at the process, because one of the things that I've always said that I really enjoy about Destiny is the fact that, you know, you have to grind to be able to get to certain things, right? So if that is my position on it, so being in a position where my light level was low to even attempt Forge and different things like that, that's my problem. That's my problem. Okay, I don't think that's necessarily Bungie's problem. That's how I feel about it. So I think within the day or something like that, they dropped the light level so individuals could get into those activities a little bit easier, or at least try to sustain those activities a little bit easier because of dropping the light level. I have issues with that a little bit, because I'm here for the actual grind process of Destiny. I understand that if I want certain things, or if I want to benefit from certain activities, I need to, whether I need to grind activities that's already there before jumping into the new stuff. I already know that part of the reason I play Destiny is the competition, right? Especially in Crucible. I do not play Crucible with randoms anymore. I typically play with my clan because I know how they play. Randos are very unpredictable. And I can't trust that they will do the right thing in certain scenarios. And I think that there's a little safety, peace of mind that takes place when you're playing with a team, that you know how they play, you know what weapons they use to a certain degree, you know how they behave in certain environments, especially when you're playing Crucible, even quick play, not necessarily, you know, comp, but just quick play. Right. So I'm here for the grind. So I know for a fact that if I put the right ghost on, if I use my boon stuff, if I use my fire team medallions, if I set up myself to win in those activities, if I use a public defender ghost when I'm doing public events, right? If I do things that I know I could be doing, that really benefits me in the long run to get drops. And usually I get drops, you know, I hear people complain about, hey, you know, I'm not getting a lot of drops. Or are you using the right stuff to get drops, right? You're not getting heavy ammo, but do you have any things on your character that would allow you to get heavy ammo drops, right? And I think that because there's so many different components for Destiny, are you setting yourself up to win in the game based on what the game offers you, right? And I think that to a certain degree, you can't be upset if you're not maximizing the things that you can. Now, there are individuals who cannot. I'm not talking about that, but I'm just talking about, like, if you can right now, you know, join a clan to start getting drops while the clan is doing stuff because you're low light, right? Or do the activities that the game provides, like the daily historic missions, the Vanguard stuff, or the Nightfall, if you're at least 540 by now. You know, if you're at least 540 by now. If you're not 540 by now, then jump in quick play. You know, maybe you can find a group to jump in quick play with or something like that, right? And then every other day or every other 3 or 4 days, they give you a daily for an engram that drops. Or whether you want to do Dreaming City stuff or Titan stuff or whatever that weekly is that's going to give you stuff. Or if you do a certain amount of engrams, you get a powerful gear. If you do a certain amount of bounties, you get powerful gear. I think that's 20 for Ikora. If you do enough clan stuff, after a while, you get a clan engram that drops. If your clan is filling up the bar fast enough, up to a certain point, you're going to get the ability to get engrams without even doing anything, right? So the leveling conversation, and, you know, I'm not, you know, high light level enough, which is one thing I struggled even for me personally, is I usually play by myself, but now I don't want to play by myself. You know, as far as the Destiny is concerned, I usually try to find activities that are very easy to get stuff, like daily heroics. You do 3 of those, you get an engram. Vanguard, you do the same 3 or something like that with a subclass, right? You get an engram there. If you play 1 game of Crucible, you probably get an engram there. If you play 5, you get an engram there. If you do Gambit, you get an engram. If you do 3 Gambits, I think, you get another engram. So the engram stuff is not the issue, right? The issue is, do you want to grind for that? I think that's really what it boils down to. And I think that, you know, this pass is, what, $34 or something like that? And definitely full disclosure, you know, I got the pass from the Bungie team. So thank you for that. You know, always a pleasure for that. I love the game. I always see if they're able to send stuff. So they sent me that. But it's like, I asked for the grind, right? So now I'm sitting here baking cookies and adorning, right? That's a thing. And I'm getting weapon drops as I'm baking cookies, right? So it's like, all right, a lot of bounties to do, a lot of things to do. You know, now we're pushing towards 640. 640 will probably put us in what, March, April, maybe some individuals probably 640 already or whatever the case might be. But that's what I've asked for, right? So if I'm not happy with that, you know, as far as the grind is concerned, then I should just leave Destiny alone, right? And I think that's really what it is. There's so many other games that we can be playing right now. Like, I took the time to install pretty much all the major games that I have, whether it was sent by a company or not, on my PlayStation 4. Okay, and I want to turn to PlayStation 4 so I can read this list to you. Maybe it'll cooperate. I don't know. So I'm going to turn this PlayStation 4 on right now, and I'm going to tell you the list of games that I could be playing. Okay, so I'll probably start with the free stuff first, because the free stuff are really good, right? So let's see what we have here. So Fortnite is there, right? I don't know why my PlayStation controller is not behaving right now. So let's look at some of the things. So Fortnite is free to play, right? So if you are complaining about, and this is for those individuals, it may not be you, but those are the individuals who are complaining about, you know, Destiny stuff. For whatever reason, you don't want to play Destiny anymore, you want to give up on it, that's fine. You don't have to play Destiny. There's so many other games you can play, right? So on my main screen, right, where you see all the games listed or whatever, here are some of the games, right? This is free and paid, right? Destiny 2, Tukiden 2, which is free to play, right? Then you also get games like, let me move this so I could do it a little bit easier. Then you have Fortnite, Paladins, Black Ops 3 and 4, the Tomb Raiders, that series, the Order 1886, I think it was a free game at the time during a PlayStation Plus thing, so I picked that up. Uncharted 4, Wolfenstein 2, Yakuza, which I like, Yakuza Street Fighter game, I like that, Street Fighter 5 is on there. Journey, great title, I think they recently announced it's going to be on PC. Fez is on there on my list, Titanfall 2, Call of Duty, this one is Modern Warfare, the remastered version, and I think that's it. That's the main ones I have on that listing. So if I'm complaining about Destiny stuff, right, there's so many other games I could be playing, right? So many other games. So if you have challenges with how Destiny is doing things now, or Bungie is doing things now for Destiny, I should say that way, contact them with constructive criticism, and maybe they'll make some changes. Maybe, you know, according to how they want the game to go. So that's pretty much some of the things that I have there as it relates to Destiny. I love the game. I love to complain about it. I love to praise it because there's so many things that they're doing that I enjoy. But Destiny, I've been saying this in the last couple of episodes, Destiny is way more fun with friends, okay? Way more fun with friends. So if you're trying to do solo everything, then at some point you're going to either get bored or tired of it, whatever, or you're going to walk away from it or whatever. And then when you do walk away from it, by the time you come back, you'll be 200 under level. And then you're going to complain that you're going to have to grind up to get to that stuff. It is what it is, right? So that's that. So last but not least on this particular thing, on this particular list is Twitch and Article 13, right? Article 13, let me explore that real quick. This was a blog post from the CEO of Twitch talking about Article 13 and how it's going to affect potentially not just EU individuals, but individuals that are in the US as well, maybe. By the end of 2018, a new proposal to the European Union directive might pass that could limit you from sharing content and earning a livelihood, not just on Twitch, but on the internet at large. It's called Article 13. And even if this is your first time hearing about it, it's not too late to do something, right? You and your communities have worked hard to build this incredible place, and it's worth protecting. The fallout from Article 13 isn't limited to creators in the European Union. Everyone stands to lose if content coming out of and going into the region is throttled, right? Now, we're writing it to you, every creator on Twitch, to make sure you're informed about what's happening. If you share our concerns about Article 13, we're also including a list of ways you can help fight against it. We know amazing things are possible when Twitch bands together. A little bit more of that magic right now could go a long way. So that's what's going on. So it talks about what's happening so far. Going to have a link of that in the show notes for as far as Article 13 is concerned. It is definitely a concern if you're streaming on a platform. I don't think it's just Twitch. I think it's, I would say streaming at large, Article 13. I'm going to link that in the show notes. Definitely be on a lookout for that. The next segment is going to focus on the Game Awards. Some of the things that moved me during the Game Awards. We'll be right back after this. Hey, I want to take a quick second and tell you about ProXPN. ProXPN is one of our affiliates. It is an easy-to-use VPN service that secures your internet connection against eavesdropping, masks your location, and allows you to access your favorite sites no matter where you live or travel to. Now, I've been using ProXPN for a long time now. The service is really, really great. To get 20% off the lifetime of your account, visit theshowradio.info/ProXPN and use the promo code SHORAM. Now, for our other affiliates, definitely check out theshowradio.info/resources. Now, back to the show. All right, so let's talk about the Game Awards. The Game Awards took place the week of the 8th, right? I think that's when it took place. And it was definitely just amazing to see how far the award show has come, right? But there was a couple of moments that really moved me during the Game Awards I definitely want to share with you. The first one in particular is when the three giants in our industry, Phil Spencer, Reggie Fils-Aime, and Sean Layden, came together on stage to talk about the unity of the gaming industry and that kind of a conversation. So I don't know. I really get touchy about stuff like that. I really like to see what we sit here and make a big deal about, right? When we're like, oh, you know, this console is better than that, this is better than that, what we sit here and make a big deal about, and we, the thing that we forget is that those guys are probably the bestest of friends, even though they're competitors in the business of gaming, right? But outside the business of gaming, there is a camaraderie and appreciation for everybody putting out their own thing. And I think if we can get back to that, I don't think we'll ever get there completely because of the trolls and all the different individuals on the web that feel that, you know, crapping on a particular product or crapping on a particular hardware piece of something gives them this this feeling of prestige and pride of what they bought or whatever. And I think that although we crack jokes about, you know, which system is better or which platform is better and stuff like that, at the end of the day, whatever you're playing on is what you're playing on, and you can't necessarily tell somebody how to you know, make a decision on what they need to purchase and not purchase as it relates to the gaming industry and even the business of gaming when it comes to hardware sales and stuff like that. So that conversation is always going to be here, okay? Regardless of how we feel about, you know, Phil Spencer or Reggie Fils-Aime or Sean Layden or any other individual in the industry or Donald Mustard or Santa Monica Studios and the things that they've done or even the things that Bethesda is doing right now that we're kind of a little tight about, right? Whatever the thing is, at the end of the day, we have to see and understand that there's a level of appreciation for all those things that sometimes go beyond words, right? We are frustrated about some of the things that we see, but at the end of the day, there is a unity in the gaming industry. So if you didn't see the Game Awards, and this is specifically for those who didn't tune in at all, they do not plan to tune in. If you didn't tune in and you don't want to tune in, I do have some clips of those conversations that took place that moved me, and maybe you can get something out of it. So take a listen to when Phil Spencer, Reggie Fils-Aime, and Sean Layden got to the stage.
All right. Well, now it's the top of the hour, and that means I think it's time for the Game Awards. Are you guys ready? You know, this show is all about bringing everyone together to celebrate video games. When I started this show 5 years ago, my dream was to put competition aside and just come together to celebrate what we love, which is playing games, making games, and This is a moment that's been 5 years in the making for me. I can't believe it's about to happen. But to kick off the show, I couldn't think of anything better than this. Please join me in welcoming, from Nintendo, Reggie Fils-Aimé. From PlayStation, Sean Layden. And from Xbox, Phil Spencer.
Tonight at the Game Awards, we come together as a community to celebrate video games, the most compelling and immersive form of entertainment in the world.
As an industry, we are most powerful when we come together, united by our common love for the art form of games.
We join with the viewers and gamers around the globe to celebrate creativity, innovation, and the role that video games play in popular culture.
Together, we will continue to invite new voices, creators, and players into our worlds, because when everybody plays, we all win.
Because when we see the strength of a united gaming community, we remember that we've never seen a challenge that you can't defeat.
We're united in our commitment to leading and pushing this industry forward with new games, new experiences, and new ways for everyone to play.
Good luck to all the nominees.
And congratulations to all the winners.
And enjoy the Game Awards. Jeff, take it away.
Thank you so much, guys. Reggie, Sean, and Phil together on stage. It's what this show is all about.
I hope you guys enjoyed that particular thing. So the next thing that really caught my attention, that really moved me, was the conversation that was given to ongoing game of the year, which was Donald Mustard and for Epic, right? Which is for Fortnite. And that was really cool because almost the same vibe. I think there was collectively the same vibe that we are all in this together and we're on the next, we're on the cusp of the next thing that's going to be great for the gaming industry as a whole. So however you participate in that, whether you're a contributor to a chat room or you're a contributor by creating something, right? There is an appreciation all collectively for all the things that we enjoy for this gaming community as a whole. And I think the conversation, which I kind of like Donald Mustard's style, right? Maybe it was rehearsed. Maybe it was practiced. Maybe it was something that was written down that he mentioned for his thing. I don't know. Okay, but I dug it because there was no paper with that. It was just like, this is what we appreciated. And he also thanked the Russo brothers, which I believe was the individuals that presented him the award, I think, if I remember correctly. But just listen to this and appreciate it for the conversation that we are in this gaming community as a whole. And we're about to see something great in the next couple of years, and the changes and the shifts that are going to take place. Listen to Donald Mustard, his speech when he received the award for ongoing game of the year.
The Russo brothers. Like, we love you so much, all of us, right? Thank you so much for everything you guys have done for us. I represent just the teeniest portion of the team that just works so hard every day to make the game that is Fortnite. There's just so many people pouring their souls, their talent, their time into trying every day to bring all of the people playing that game joy and delight. That's it. That's all. That's our mission. Is how can we just bring joy and delight to people? And we're just so grateful. We're so grateful for all the people who have who've come on this journey with us, who've played Fortnite, who continue to play it every day, and with us help make the game better. This has been an extremely humbling year for us at Epic, as we have really learned and tried to just do something that felt wonderful to us. And we're just so glad that there's so many of you that that agree with us and that are playing the game with us. So I imagine that almost everyone here, the reason why you are in the game industry or why you make games or love games is because it feels like a new medium. And it really is. Games aren't that old. And I think that's what's so exciting for me every day, is that feeling that there's something over the horizon, right? And it feels like we're there again, that we're on the cusp as an industry of new, amazing experiences. And I'm just so grateful for all of you. We're all kind of one big team, all of us in this industry, really pushing this medium. And I'm so grateful for it. Thank you guys so much.
Last but not least is the one surrounding teams, right? We appreciate the teams, and sometimes you don't realize how much that the individuals on the team sacrifice to make sure that whatever product or project that's being worked on comes out to be the best that it could be, right? So this particular bit is surrounding Game of the Year. Game of the Year was given to God of War and that entire Santa Monica Studios team. And that, to me, was really impactful because I think about how the show has changed and how the show has grown because we have two individuals with pretty much very different opinions between Danielle and I as we create the content we create for the show, right? And I definitely am glad that she's part of the team, because a lot of the video production stuff that takes place wouldn't take place if it wasn't for her. You know, she has knowledge in that area, and she's really blessed the show and myself to be able to take care of those particular things. And as far as the audio component things, I generally take care of those things. But the fact that without those two components, there are certain things that do not necessarily take place for the show. It is what it is. And I think that I spend a lot of time, and I think to some degree it makes her uncomfortable. I spend a lot of time praising her because I do appreciate everything that she does for the show. And I don't think that there's a limit or a cap on how often you need to tell somebody or whoever it is, maybe a 3-team, 2-team, 5-team, 7-team. So there's so many ways I can go with this. There's individuals on your team that has gifts and talents that you may not appreciate because you think they're passing you, right? For whatever it is. I don't even look at teams like that. If I know for a fact that, let's look at Chicago Bulls team, Michael Jordan, and that whole era, the three-peat and all that stuff. They're individuals who are gifted at a particular thing, whether that was three-point, variety, you know, the center position, maybe a 3 or 4, you know, in terms of their particular position. You were gifted for that particular component. Or even look at current teams like Golden State Warriors, or even what Toronto is doing right now at Toronto for the Raptors. Like, there's building blocks of great teams when they're put together, right? But if you think that just because you're gifted on the team, you're the one that's supposed to get all the accolades, then you have some challenges that you need to overcome as it relates to that. Because I know that I bring some stuff to the table, and I know that Daniela brings some stuff to the table, and with both of us, we do what we got to do as it relates to creating content, okay? That's really what it is. So I don't think there's a cap, that there should be a cap of how much you appreciate the person. And if you are in a particular environment now that you think that there's a member on your team that has talents that you don't have, and you're looking down on that, and you're making them feel bad about that, then that there's, it's almost like there's an enemy at the camp. So with that said, just really be careful about that, especially if you're the leader of the group, right? Quote unquote, if you're whether you're appointed to be, or everyone looks to you for direction or whatever the case might be, or insight or wisdom, but yet you're looking at your team members as if they're your competition, then there's already issues there that are embedded there way beyond what people are actually seeing. So I'll leave that there. Okay, so this particular conversation is the Game of the Year speech, if you want to call it that, with some members of the Santa Monica team, including Corey Barlog. And I hope I'm saying his name correctly. So definitely check that out and enjoy.
La-di-da-di, who gets the gaudy? Here it goes. All right, and the game award for Game of the Year goes to God of War.
It's a great night for all of us. Thank you, and thanks so much, the team back in Santa Monica. Just an amazing, amazing group of talent that really pulled together to realize this beautiful vision that Corey brought to the franchise reboot for God of War. And I'm so thankful that Corey returned back to the studio and joined our family once again. And you are an amazing visionary. Love your partnership. Yumi Yang.
Yeah.
It's really hard to see the behind-the-scenes work that goes into producing a game like God of War. And the triumph that it is, without Yumi's steadfast ability to thread that very tricky production needle and the balance with Corey's and the team's creative vision, we would not be where we are on this stage today. So thank you to Yumi and the entire production team. And you guys, the fans around the world, together, we all dream big dreams, and that's an amazing feeling every day when we walk into the studio to create something like God of War. I want to thank my children for being the very best, and all of the families throughout the God of War team who rode this wave with us. Thank you so much for the support that we were given over the course of many, many months, many hours, many years. And lastly, Scott Rohde, tremendous support to the Santa Monica studio, Shuhei Yoshida, and Sean Layden. Really stood behind us through a studio reboot and a re-envisioning of this franchise, which takes a lot of guts at that level, and the entire PlayStation family who stood behind us as in that partnership over many years to really realize what this franchise was capable of. Thank you, everyone. Corey?
I'll be quick because they're flashing to please wrap it up, but I just want to say every single game that was nominated up here is an absolute freaking masterpiece. So please give it up for all of them. And again, please give it up for every creator, and that is creators of games, creators of movies, creators of comic books, creators of every single thing that enriches our lives, that makes us believe that magic is real. All right, I love you all.
So that's it for episode 480. Thanks for listening. If you think we're insightful and we added value to you, thanks for listening. If you think this is another hour of your life that you're not going to get back, I appreciate you listening anyway. TheShowRadio.info is the website. Definitely subscribe to us on all the platforms that include Spotify, iTunes, and those places. Check us out. We appreciate it and enjoy the rest of your week. Take care.
Hey, Houston, Conn's prices are invincible. That means prices have been cut low, as in amazingly low, as in won't be beat. In fact, we're backing it up with our low price guarantee. Invincible prices on appliances, furniture, electronics, mattresses, and more. Not invincible enough for you? How about free next day delivery on appliances, TVs, and mattresses? And payment options for everyone, whether you have good credit or building it. Visit Conn's today and find out what invincible feels like.